started this rally by telling you about a man who was sitting in a police car in the middle of this plaza being taken away because he had dared to hand out leaflets supporting racial equality. That man is here with us today. I'm going to introduce you to Jack Weinberg. He's currently a senior policy advisor for IPEN, an international environmental rights organization that's fighting toxic pollution. And here is Jack, out of the car.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming out. A week ago, if somebody would have asked me what was the most important student protest movement of the last 50 years, I would have confidently said the Berkeley Free Speech Movement. But that was a week ago. On Monday and Tuesday, we were upstaged. Probably the most significant student movement of our era is taking place as we speak in Hong Kong. This has been building for over a year. In June, the issue, if those of you who are not reading the newspapers don't know, the issue is the right to free elections. In 2017, the citizens of Hong Kong have been given the right to vote, but with a trick. All candidates have to be approved both by the authorities in Beijing and by the business establishment in Hong Kong. That's very much like the right to vote in Iran. You can vote as long as nobody you vote for wants to change anything or wants to do anything to upset the status quo. Last June, the citizens of Hong Kong held an online referendum on the right to nominate their own candidates. Even though it was hacked by the authorities and was down, over 900,000 people participated in that referendum. Today, October 1st, is a national day in China, and the protests were supposed to start today. But the Hong Kong Federation of Students, which is an organization of all university students in Hong Kong, and Scholasticism, an organization that began as high school activists, jumped the gun and began the Occupy Central on Monday. They were confronted with tear gas and attacked, and as a result, all of Hong Kong, other than the party and the business establishment, came to their support. No accurate figures exist, but at least 100,000 people today are sitting in the streets of Hong Kong. They are demanding a change in the way elections happen. They are demanding the executive stand down, and they've said if they don't get their demand soon, they will start occupying buildings. I want to read you a statement from the organizer of this rally, but I hope I am speaking for all of you. We support your Occupy movement for free elections and democracy in Hong Kong, and we call for police restraint. University and high school students are leading the way. Today, October 1st, marks the 50th anniversary of the Berkeley Free Speech Movement. Our officials repressed us in 1964, but our struggle for free speech prevailed. Today, we are officially honored and recognized. You will be honored and recognized as well. The whole world is watching. There are Hong Kong students around the plaza. They have yellow ribbons that represent this movement. I'm hoping they will give them out. They have literature. This is their banner. And I want to This wasn't what I was planning to say today, but I think it was what had to be said today. I think that our movement in Berkeley inspired young people and activists around the world. People were conservative, were tired, were afraid, were isolated before that, and they came together and stood up. The Hong Kong students taking part in a movement that started with Occupy, with Peace and Love, Occupy Central with Peace and Love, are now setting up another image, another example for the whole world to follow. Just when things seem too conservative to make a difference, just when things seem impossible, the opportunity arises. One has to struggle in the conditions you live, but no, when change happens fast. Our world is faced by so many ills that I'm not going to catalog them. But in broad terms, we have the growth of inequality and opportunity for students. You're saddled with such debts that you can't even leave school and think of anything but paying them back. For working people, real wages are lower today than they were in 1964. For people without jobs and without opportunities, the world is a very frightening place. And yet, the pay for corporate executives has skyrocketed. Corporate executives make 3,000 times their average employee. Fast food executives makes 1,200 times their average employee, and it's not just about money. It's about political power. It's about being able to control this society, and that's got to change. And that is one of the two civilization issues that are facing us. Are we looking forward to a world of opportunity or a return to aristocracy and oligarchy? The second issue of equal importance is the right to live in a livable planet. Yes. Climate change, poisoning the environment. We are destroying the life support systems upon which our human civilization is based. And greedy corporate powers don't think about their grandchildren. They only think about the bottom line. And once again, those same people who have redistributed wealth on their behalf are refusing to allow the necessary activities to come to a livable planet, to preserve the climate, to preserve the life-giving ecosystems of the world. So we have a huge, huge agenda before us. I'm going to conclude. Think of the students in Hong Kong. Think of the university students. Think of the high school students. Do what you can do day in, day out. It will all come together, and we shall prevail. Thank you.